Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a question for everybody. And I want everybody to really think about this, because it's something that I think we don't think about often. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. I don't know how much you obsess about what you eat or what you don't eat or whatever the case may be. But let me just ask you this question. What did you eat for dinner yesterday? Do you remember that? Remember what you had for yesterday to eat? Now, what did you have for dinner about a week ago? You remember? Remember what you had? Precisely what it was? If you do, that's very interesting. How about a month ago? Can you remember what you had to eat about a month ago? How about a year ago? Do you remember that? About a year ago today, what did you have for dinner? What did you have for lunch? For breakfast, maybe? The reason why I asked that question, is because oftentimes, we worry about what's coming next. Sometimes we wonder about whether or not we're going to be able to have the food that we would like to have, when we'd like to have it, or whatever the case may be, whatever it is that we want, whatever it is that we would need. And when you look back and you say, what did I have last night? Okay, I can remember that. How about a couple days ago, a couple weeks ago, you start to go, I don't quite remember, but I know that I ate something, right? I ate something, and that's a good thing because you just know from looking back and say, wow, God took care of me. That's very simple to think that way, but I mean, we are supposed to have faith like children, right? We are supposed to look at God as that Father that provides all that we need. So when you look back and you say, wow, God has provided for me all the way up until now, I'm pretty sure he's going to take care of me here on out. Now, some people might say, well, what is it? Determine future performance or anything like that. But when we're talking about God here, like we're not talking about a man. We're talking about, or not mere man, but we're talking about God himself who will provide. And he provides for us in all kinds of ways. And when he provides for us, it's often in response to either our prayers of faithfulness or a lack thereof. We see that though no matter how we ask or what we ask for, God always gives us exactly what we need. He may not always give us what we want, but he gives us what we need. And he gives us all that we need in both body and soul. We see in our text, I mean, we could go throughout the entire scriptures and see how God takes care of his people in body and soul. But from our texts today, from the Old Testament text, we see that the whole people of the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, grumbled against Moses in the wilderness, and the people said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." How ungrateful. It's amazing to look back. You know, we've looked back a second ago. You say, like, what did you have to eat yesterday, a week ago? So on and so forth. Sometimes looking back can be a detriment because we can say, oh, well, I at least remember that a year ago I had filet mignon or a T-bone or whatever, and today I've got like a hamburger patty. That's so much worse than what I had last year, last week, or whatever. Sometimes we can look back and say, it was better then. And isn't that a temptation to do that in the church today? It's specifically a temptation for our church body when, you know, in certain churches, you'll have these long hallways with pictures of confirmation classes, you know, 30, 40, 50 deep of kids just surrounding the altar. And now we'll be glad to have one or two. Most of the time, you don't see a whole lot of big confirmation classes. And that may be for a lot of different reasons. But the most basic reason is that for some reason, God is chastising us, but chastising for the sake of our good, right? For God works for the good of all things, for those who love him, right? So when we look back, we need to not be tempted to say, it was better then, so why are you harming us now? Why are you punishing us now? Why can't it be just like it was back then? But sometimes it gets even worse than that. Because with God's people here in the wilderness, they were looking back at an even worse state than before. They were looking back at slavery, right? They were taken against their will for generations, for hundreds of years. They were taken against their will, and they were forced to serve in harsh conditions. And yet, that to them, in hindsight, looks better than the freedom that God had provided for them in the wilderness. All they really had to do was trust in God, and they couldn't even do that. Unless we look back on them and say, well, how terrible. Are we not like that most oftentimes? When we look back and we say, you know what, if it's in a case, a state of repentance, right? And part of the struggle is to look back when there's a pet sin that you repented of years ago, and you look back on some level and say, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun, and I wish that I could go back to that on some level, right? Our sinful flesh yearns for those things, and we can say, God, this is just really hard. It's really hard to turn away from sin. It's really hard to trust in you. It's really hard to carry my cross day in and day out. It's really hard to say what's going to happen next, and it's really hard to put that in your hands, right? But we see time and time again that God fulfills his promises. God takes care of his people. He takes care of them in body and soul. And we pray for this all the time, do we not? If you pray the Lord's Prayer, you know the petition, the fourth petition, right? This is confirmation class all over again. What is the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer? Anybody know? Give us this day our daily bread, right? Give us this day our daily bread. And we say in that petition that we know that God surely gives daily bread to all people, even those who are outside of faith and outside of his church, those who don't truly deserve it. But we ask in this petition that we would be given our daily bread with thankfulness and joy and praise to God who has given it to us, right? It's a reminder that God gives us our daily bread regardless of if we ask for it. Yet, how much more should we ask for it and then receive it in thanksgiving and say, thanks be to God. You know, I may not have much, but everything that I have has come from God's hands, and it's all that I need. Or maybe you could even say, God has given me a lot, and he has given it to me. And there may be the temptation to say, I've done it all for myself, right? Or I've done these things. Look at what I've done. But everything that we have been given is a gift of God. So we should receive our daily bread with thanksgiving, knowing that God provides for all of our needs. And sometimes, like the people in the wilderness, he may give it, and we say, what is that? What is it? Right? It's actually where the word manna comes from. Did you know that? It's a Hebrew word for what? Literally, that's what it means. It means, what is it? Because they had to be told what it is, right? Sometimes we have to be told what it is that God gives us. Sometimes we have to be told that God gives us all good things before we can actually recognize the hand of the one who gives it, right? And God always gives exactly as much as we need. In the wilderness, he gave the bread that came from heaven. It says, gather of it as much as you can eat. You shall take an omer according to the number of the people that you have in your tent. And it says, each of them gathered as much as he could eat. God does not give only that much that'll just kind of satisfy a bit of a taste. But he gives us all that we need, all that we can handle, right? In the best possible sense. And he doesn't stop in the Old Testament, right? In the Old Testament, he doesn't stop. He goes on in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, his son. When God became flesh, he still gave. And he not only gave in the body, but now he gives fully to our souls. In John chapter 6, we see that he does feed the people, right? He sees these people, and it's very interesting, John's account of this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. By the way, it was probably more than 5,000. Think about God's abundance in this. It only, in all the Gospels, in the Synoptics, and in John, it just mentions the men, but that's how they usually would count the households. They'd say, how many men do we have here? And then in the other Gospels, it says, that's not even counting the women and the children. Could have been at least 10,000 people. Who knows, right? 8,000 to 10,000 people that Jesus fed, which makes this even more astounding, that Jesus sees these people. And what's also interesting is that they don't even say we're hungry. They don't even say we want something to eat. But he preempts them and says, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? What a great question. I mean, Jesus is a very interesting man. I mean, he's the perfect man, but it's great how he does this with his disciples. He asks these questions, right? Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? And it says he said this to test Philip, right? He said this to test him, for he knew himself what he would do. God knows. Jesus knows what he would do. He knows what he will do. He knows what he does. He feeds us in body and soul. He feeds us in our body. And yet, even more than that, later on in John chapter 6, when these people are just mesmerized that he would feed them in such a miraculous way, he then says, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, I have come down from heaven? And he says, don't murmur about me. And he goes on, and he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And then they quarreled and said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And he says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. We see here that Jesus points to himself as that bread that feeds our soul. This is the bread which came down from heaven. The true bread, Jesus Christ, in word and sacrament. In the word that you hear, in the word that binds itself to the water that cleanses, in the word that binds itself to the bread and the wine, to be the body and blood of Christ, to strengthen, and to sustain you in faith to life everlasting. It's amazing how much God provides. It's amazing how precarious life can be. In fact, it is. If you think about it, we sometimes get a little too comfortable in our clothes and in our homes and in our cars. I mean, if you were to stay outside for too long today or in the wintertime, we probably wouldn't last very long. We are the top of the food chain, as it were, if you follow Darwinism and things like that, which we don't really, the survival of the fittest, because it doesn't make sense. If we're the top of the food chain, if we are the fittest, how is it that we can't survive without clothing? How is it that we can't survive without cooking our food? I mean, some people can eat the raw diet, but it gets a little rough after a while. The point is that human beings are fragile. We're fragile. We're more fragile than we think most of the time. But there's consolation in knowing that the Lord Christ, Christ Jesus, is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And he works for the good of all things, for those who love him, for all of God's children. So as we go through this world, we have one who stands in our place, who has died for us, who forgives our sins, who feeds us in body and soul. We have a great God who provides for us even when we don't ask for it. He provides for us in all sorts of ways so that we would know without a doubt that he loves us, that he cares for us. So go forward from here, not worrying about what you will eat, not worrying about what you will wear, but trusting in God to take care of you, trusting in God to work through you as well, to clothe and to feed those who need it, knowing that God works through you by faith, by his grace, knowing that he is the giver of all good things, so that no matter how heavy our cross gets when we follow Christ, no matter how hard this life gets, we know that we have a God who loves us. We know that he continues to provide us our daily bread, for which we should be thankful. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.